Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Wow, these lights are something else. Well, how is everybody today? Great, great. Well, I'm sure some of you are surprised to see me up here on a Sunday, but nobody's any more surprised than I am. If you were here last September for World Day of Prayer, you heard me speak. And the title of my talk, I understand there was at least one person listening because she mentioned it last week. Where are you, Marge? Taking the lid off. And I talked about taking the lid off. And I shared my secret about how I'm hiding from doing that which is mine to do. I talked about some things that I was guided to do. And I want to let you all know I'm not cheating. I do not have a full script up here. I told you, Spirit said, oh no, that's not the way I want you to do it. So yeah, I'm probably shaking in my boots, but that's okay. I'm here. But that was on a Thursday. That wasn't on a Sunday. I have always said, I am never going to be a Sunday speaker and a church. And here I am again. So I'm warning you, never say never, because more than likely it will come back to you. But this is a Sunday and I'm here and I can't believe it, but I'm going to give the best that I possibly can. I got another secret. Y'all like secrets? You want to hear another one of my secrets? I love soap operas. That's right. I love soap operas. I'm retired now, and I plan my day around seeing the very last of my three favorite soaps that's still on ABC. And when I'm not able to do so, I am not a happy camper. But thank God for on demand, because I get to see it the next day. I was part of a teaching team, and we did the year in the Bible. And I've never really been that into the Bible. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've never really been that deep into the Bible. Of course, exposed to the Bible. Good old Baptist church upbringing. Having to remember Bible verses when I went to my grandmother's Pentecostal church. So, of course, I had some familiarity with the Bible. And needless to say, as a licensed Unity teacher, I spent a lot of time reading and studying the Bible. Had an amazing teacher there by the name of Frank Judice that just really brought the Bible alive for me. I just couldn't believe it. His enthusiasm was so infectious that it really got me a lot more excited about it. So during that year that we were teaching the Bible, my understanding and familiarity became deeper and deeper. And guess what I discovered? One of the best soap operas you ever want to get hooked on. I'm telling you, there is deceit, lies, adultery, murder, all kinds of stuff. But there's also joy, laughter, miracles, and keys to a better life. While I was preparing for this talk, a particular Bible story just kept coming to me. And I'm going, but what does that have to do with what I think I want to talk about? Well, what I knew I wanted to talk about today. But it kept coming up. So I had to give a title for my talk by a certain time, and I've done so. And there may or may not be a link to what I'm going to talk about But it is what it is. I don't control that. I have discovered that I don't control much. When God has a plan for our lives, we can keep on dodging and playing around as long as we want. God don't care. Because at some point, we will do what God intends for us to do. So, the story that has captured my fascination, ooh, is so juicy, is the story of Joseph. A story that is familiar to most of us. Joseph, one of 12 brothers. Oh, and by the way, did you know he had a sister? Has a sister named Dina. Not a lot of people know about her. And I've found a lot about her lately, but that's another talk. But Joseph was the son of Jacob, one of 12 brothers. And Jacob served him in his old age. So he was very, very, very fond of Joseph. In addition to the fact that he was old, Jacob had 4 wives. And his second wife was the love of his life. I'm not going to get into that story, but I'm telling you, you might want to go to Genesis and check this story out. So anyway, Jacob had Joseph with his favorite wife, who was barren for years. So that also helped him to be he really, really cared about this son. And his brothers were just incensed. Oh my goodness, they were so jealous, they just could not believe it. So, both Jacob and Joseph were dream interpreters. And Joseph had a dream. He was very young. He was about 17 years old, and he had a dream. He shared the dream with his brothers, and that really pissed them off. Because the essence of the dream was that at some point, his brothers and his other family members would be bowing down to him. He would be at a much higher state in life than them, and they would be bowing down and serving him. And he shared that with them. And I guess that was the last straw. Now, Daddy had already made this fabulous coat for him, something he had never done for the others. And now this younger brother is talking about, we're going to be bowing down to him. So some of his brothers decided, let's get rid of this fool. So they ended up selling him into slavery. And then he was bought by Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, to work for him. And so first he gets sold by his brothers. There's the betrayal and the deceit. And I would imagine that journey to Egypt wasn't an easy one for him. And so he's finally bought by someone who values him, and he ends up having a really pretty nice life. Lo and behold, it says in the Bible that he was handsome and good looking. Whoa, double whammy. And Potiphar's wife desired him. And she kept trying to get him to, as they say in the Bible, lay with her. And he would not do it. So she set him up and lied on him to her husband. And one more time, he ends up in a situation he does not want to be in. He's thrown in jail. Poor Joseph. See why I like these soap operas? There's all kinds of twists and turns going on. While in jail, he gets this reputation for interpreting dreams. And 2 of Pharaoh's servants obviously did something that Pharaoh didn't like, and they ended up in jail as well. The baker and the butcher. They had dreams, each had a different dream, and they went to Joseph for interpretation, and he interpreted their dreams. And so Joseph said to them, and so when you get out of jail, please remember me to Pharaoh. I want to get out of here. Well, they got out of jail. And as it turns out, Joseph's prophecy for them came true. The baker was killed, and the butler was once again in the graces of Pharaoh. But the butler forgot to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. So Joseph ends up spending 2 more years in jail. Then Pharaoh has a dream, some disturbing dreams, 2 really disturbing dreams. And the butler remembers that guy in jail and says, oh, I know somebody who can help you understand what's going on. And he tells Pharaoh about Joseph. And so he calls for Joseph, and Joseph interprets the dreams. They're 2 separate dreams, but they're telling 1 story. And the dreams, the essence of, is that there will be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So Pharaoh decides that he wants to have somebody to oversee this huge project of preparation for the lean years. So you know who got the job. Joseph gets the job. He's out of jail 1 more time. He's second only to Pharaoh, and he's living the good life. He's about 30 now. Things have changed for him. There comes a time where, during the famine years, Joseph's brothers come to Egypt to purchase grain. For their stuff, their family's not doing well like everybody else. And when they arrive, Joseph realizes that these are his brothers. And he puts down, I'm not going to tell you all of the minute details of this story, because I think you might want to read it for yourself. But he puts them through some changes, you know, and he toys with them. They don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. And so eventually, he tells his brothers to go back and bring back his father and his younger brother and bring them back to him, but not to come back without the younger brother. So they come back, and he reveals himself to his brothers, and they are afraid. And so this is what they say. This is when Joseph identified himself to his brothers, and they're very... Then this is in Genesis 45. I'm reading from verses 1 through 8. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." Now, for the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now, the point of these verses is to say that things happen in our lives. And when we look at them from a human perspective, when we look at them and evaluate them from our human mind, boy, are we ever distressed. We get upset, and well, let me rephrase that. I get upset. I complain. I stamp my feet and I carry on. And I'm going, well, why? You know, I get into my pity. Woe is me. Why is this happening to me? And later on, we find out that there was some higher purpose for that event. And had not that event occurred, the good thing that showed up in our life more than likely would not have manifested. Okay, so now the brothers know who Joseph is, and this is at the point where he wants his father to come. And they go back and they get his father, and they bring everybody, the whole tribe of Jacob, into Egypt, and everybody lives a wonderful and abundant life for quite a while. And then, eventually, Jacob dies. And they take him back. He wants to be buried in a specific place, and they take him back, and this is done. After they've buried him, the brothers are really afraid. So now we see in Genesis chapter 50, I believe it is, verse 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil which he did to him, which we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, 'Forgive, I pray you, the transgressions of your brothers and their sins, because they did evil to you.'" Now, in my reading, I'm not real sure whether Jacob said that or not, or whether the brothers were just trying to make sure that, you know, they were able to keep him from taking retribution. "And now we pray you forgive transgressions of the servants of the God of your father." This is the brothers speaking. "Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down upon him and said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' But Joseph said to them, 'Fear not, for I am in this place that God placed me. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones.' And thus he reassured them and comforted them." And so the point of this is that there is also situations that occur that happen from outside of us, where others may think that they are doing things that are harmful to us. And we may even also feel that, oh my God, what a terrible, terrible thing they did. It's all a part of God's plan. We don't have the big picture. We cannot see everything that is intended for us to do. We are spiritual beings inhabiting a physical body, having a human experience. So we're having different, it's almost like having a schizophrenic life. At times, I'm sure most of us, if not all of us here, probably feel that, oh my goodness, I'm just totally on the human side, and all I can do is think about all of these things out here in the world that are happening to me. And then we have an opportunity to have a moment of grace where we feel our connection to the divine, where we sense that there's something more in our lives than accumulating cars and houses and money and stuff, that there's something that the soul is calling for us to do, that we're being called higher to fulfill a purpose. And that's why we are here. I believe that every single thing that I attract to me in my life, regardless of how I might view it from a human perspective, has come to serve me in some way to help me to remember who I am and whose I am. The promises that I made that I would fulfill when I came to trip Earth this time. And whether or not I'm always connected to that, and whether or not I can always feel that, the truth don't change. And it is what it is. Every single one of us has something that our spirit is calling us to do. It doesn't matter that you have not sensed it yet. The truth don't change. These things are coming to bless us. These situations are coming to serve us. These things are coming to help us to grow and to heal and to learn and to live confidently, to step up, step out, and do what we are intended to do for the good of ourselves and the good of humankind. So I say to you, give some thought to what is happening in your life. Give yourself permission to see it differently, to step back for a moment. Try to separate ourselves from the emotional response to the experience that's happening and ask in that secret place, that sacred place where you and God are one. Ask, what is mine to do? Why am I having this experience? How can it serve and enrich my life? And how can I be a service to others? So as we move forward, experiencing all the joys of our individual soap operas, keep in mind that the things that are happening, they ain't good, they ain't bad, they just are. We can choose to view them that way and move beyond the appearance and step up, learn, and grow, and have a marvelous life. Thank you.